Welcome to the Right Division Network Podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 4. We've been looking at verse number 1, which says, "Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more." As we've been looking at this issue of the walk that the Apostle Paul has been speaking of, and how this transition from giving some doctrinal information to them about who they are and the things that are true of them as a member of the body of Christ, to now speaking about here are the things that you are supposed to do as that member of the body of Christ to be pleasing unto God. And when he's speaking of this, he's talking to those individuals that have put their trust in the gospel message for today. The fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and how someone puts their trust in that and that alone is what gives someone salvation today. Once someone has done this, then they should be taking the doctrine in and the doctrine having the impact on what it is that they're doing as a member of the body of Christ. Now, we left off as we were looking at this last time, looking at the passage. Let's go back over to Titus chapter number 2 for a moment, because we see how Paul says this to Titus to give him the information about the way to be living life here. We're going to start here at verse number 11 of Titus chapter 2, which says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." And so we saw how Paul speaks about the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. So all of mankind has access to that gospel message which we were just talking about. So there's not that distinction that there was in time past between the nation of Israel and everyone else, that everyone has the capability of receiving salvation. But just because everyone has that capability doesn't mean that all people are going to accept the gospel message. And once somebody has put their trust in that gospel message, then we see that it's the grace of God that's going to teach the individual. And you know, we kind of paraphrase verse 12 a little bit to kind of describe really what Paul's saying, because it's the grace of God that's going to teach the individual, here are the things that you shouldn't do, and here are the things that you should do. So it's only the grace of God that can actually teach an individual, here are the things that line up doctrinally with what a member of the body of Christ really should be doing today. And you notice that I keep using that word should, because if a person doesn't do these things, the glorious thing that we know is that even with a failure to do them, it does not impact the salvation that somebody has, because we are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So the Spirit functions as the seal, keeping us as a member of the body of Christ, So no matter, even if we fail, we still have our salvation. Now let's turn over to Colossians chapter number 1, and we're going to see how there's going to be this prayer that the Apostle Paul offers up for these saints in Colossae that shows what it is that he's looking at with them. And here in Colossians chapter number 1, we're going to read verses 9, 10, and 11 here. And it says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness." So we see here how this prayer that he's offering up for them, you know, and it, when it says first of all, so the whole issue of what he's praying for with them, with it, when he, the very first thing that he's listing is the fact that he's desiring that they would be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. That this issue being that they needed to have the growth in the doctrinal information, and praying for them to have that growth so that way they could actually then experience the things of, here's what it is that we need to do in order to walk right. And we're only going to have that understanding if we have that growth in what the Word says. And that's why you see verse 9 talking about growing in that understanding. Verse 10 saying that ye might walk worthy of the Lord. So the end result is, if they have that growth in the doctrinal information, that it's going to produce the issue of the individual then walking right according to what the doctrine actually says. Now, we can see how Paul even identifies the fact that this is going to be a struggle for individuals. And let's go over to Romans chapter number 7. And we're going to see how Paul, you know, and this is one of these passages that individuals will read and they'll just immediately, because they don't like what it says, they start trying to change the thought process, change the timing of these things, and they'll start talking about how Paul's talking here in this passage about himself prior to salvation. Now, Paul, as he's writing the book to this assembly at Rome, he's saved, and he's talking about things related to him and his saved state. If he's talking about things, he'll actually use words to show how he's, like for example in Philippians 3, when he's talking about the things in the flesh that he gloried in time past, he makes that reference to it. This passage here in the book of Romans, he's talking about that this is a reality for him as he's actually writing this epistle to them. So when we start here at verse number 15 of Romans chapter number 7, which says, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, for the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So here is the Apostle Paul, as he's saved, as he's already laid out to this assembly, talking about how an individual, once they're saved, has been made free from sin because, you know, the sin was nailed to the cross with the Lord Jesus Christ. The law has been taken out of the way. All of the things that he's laid out to show us who we are, Paul still talks about how there's this issue of that there are things that he knows that he should not be doing, and yet he's having a struggle with the things of, you know, that there's the thing that he refers to over in the book of Galatians, which we'll, you know, probably get to, you know, either today or next time, when he talks about, you know, those that walk in the Spirit shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That there's an issue of that, even though the flesh has been, you know, considered dead in the eyes of God, we still walk around in these fleshly bodies, and there's a lust that is there, and that there are times when an individual gives in to that lust. Now, that's not a thing of that we're walking in the flesh, because Paul makes it clear, you know, when you read the beginning of chapter number 8 of the book of Romans, that if a person was walking in the flesh, there would be condemnation from God. And we know that no member of the body of Christ could ever face condemnation, because there is no condemnation for us, because we are identified in Christ. We are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So because of those things, there could not be condemnation towards us. So we are completely prevented from walking in the flesh, but that doesn't mean that we can't give in to the lust of the flesh. What we are supposed to do is, if we go over to Galatians chapter number 2, we're going to see how Paul makes this reference here to how it is that we are supposed to be living our life here. And in Galatians chapter number 2, we're going to read here verse number 20, which says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So we see how Paul, writing to the assembly at Galatia, is identifying the fact that it's Christ living in him and through him that is supposed to be the issue. So when an individual is doing the right things, doing the things that line up with what the doctrine actually says, then it's the Lord Jesus Christ living in us and through us. The problem that so many people have is that even though they are, you know, saved, even though they understand the doctrine, they give in at times and are not allowing Christ to live through them. And the moment that it's no longer Christ living through us, it's then just us. And if it's us, you know, that's never going to be a good thing. That's never going to produce the things that are pleasing unto God. Even when if it's us doing it and we actually do the right thing and say, okay, I'm doing it, but it's, you know, it's me glorifying in what I'm doing, then that's the whole problem, is that it's me glorying. And everything should be done to where it's the Godhead that is, you know, functioning through us. It's the Godhead who's going to get the glory. It's why Paul can say about the fact of in this same epistle to the assembly of Galatia when he talks about how he glories in nothing save the cross. Because it's the cross that matters. It's what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished for us. It's what he's doing through us that is the whole issue. And that's where once somebody gets to that through understanding the doctrine, then there's going to be where the things are going to be pleasing unto God at that moment. Now let's go over to the book of 1 Corinthians. And we're going to read here a couple passages out of this epistle where Paul is talking about the things that a person is doing. We're going to read both verses kind of together and then talk about. So we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to read verse 12. And then we're going to go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and read verse number 23. So 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 12 says, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." Now let's go over to chapter number 10, and we're going to read here verse number 23, where it says, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not." So we see how there's this issue of, you know, Paul talking about how when he says all things, that's everything that would be possible for an individual to do. That, you know, and twice he's saying those words of all things are lawful for me. So, you know, there's not a law that's preventing a person from doing certain things other than the laws that mankind has set up. So you have, you know, nothing of God saying you can't do this or can't do that. Here's what, if you do it, here's what the consequences are going to be. But then he starts talking about how all things are not expedient. So that all things are not going to produce the results that a person should have. They're not all going to do the things that would be pleasing unto God. They're not going to be, you know, in 1 Corinthians 10, it talks about how they're, you know, all things are not going to edify. They're not going to build up either the individual or the other people who are actually watching what is being done. Because for a lot of people, they don't actually open the scriptures. They just watch what individuals who identify themselves as being a Christian do. And usually when they're just doing that, what it is they're waiting for the person not to be doing the right things. They're waiting for them to fail so that way they can point out and see, well, see, I knew that you weren't really that good. You know, even though they might be doing all those same things or things that are quote-unquote worse or that they see all these other people doing these same things, they're just waiting for that person who has identified themselves as a Christian to actually do the things that are against what we would say that the doctrine lays out. And you can see how Paul even identifies in chapter 6 that there's an issue of being brought under the power of these things. And when you talk about that piece, it's there are many different things that a person can do that the result of them is that it starts to have such a big impact on them that it starts actually controlling their life. That's what get into that whole issue that Paul actually brings up in the book of Ephesians when he starts talking about how the issue of And let's go over to that passage. Ephesians chapter number 5. And we're going to see here, we're going to read here verse number 18, where he says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Now, verses 19 and 20, he's laying out certain things that are going to happen as a result of being filled with the Spirit. But the whole issue comes in of the be not drunk with wine, because it's the wine having the control over the individual instead of the Spirit. So it's that whole issue that comes in of that, you know, some of these things can really start to have a control over a person to pull them away from what the doctrine actually says. And when we look at what the doctrine says, we can see how that Paul gives us many different things so that way we don't have to try to say, let's go back to the law to find out how we're supposed to live our life, because Paul gives us the things that says, here's the things you're supposed to do. If we're here in Ephesians, let's turn back to chapter number 4. And we're going to see how, you know, in these examples, and he just lays out the, you know, point after point after point, giving the things of, here are the things of, you know, what you're supposed to do or things you're not supposed to do. And we're going to read here verse number 28, which says, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." Now, the law just said, thou shalt not steal. So if that's the motivation that a person is using to say, this is why I'm not stealing, you know, they might be doing the right thing, but the end result of it is that they are not pleasing unto God because they're doing the things that run contrary to the doctrine, because they're putting their, you know, what they're doing based on what you find over in the book of Exodus, which is written to the nation of Israel. If a person is not stealing just because, you know, they've grown up in a way where they just have told you that we don't steal, again, it's the right thing, but it's not pleasing unto God, because now it's just, I'm not doing it because that's what I've always been told not to do. The reason why a person is not to steal is because the doctrine here in the book of Ephesians says that this is, you know, that let him that stole steal no more. But then Paul, as he tends to do, as he lays out, here's what you're not supposed to do, he gives the thing of, oh, here's what you're supposed to do. And it says, you know, you're not to steal, but you're rather to labor or work with the purpose that you're able to give to an individual that has a need. So an individual that, you know, for, you know, whatever reason is unable to work, that you have the ability to actually be able to help them out. You know, but the whole idea is that it's the doctrine here in the book of Ephesians, which is what is supposed to be motivating the individual on, here's what I'm to do, because this is our doctrine. This is what is influencing that walk and is going to be pleasing unto God. Now, next time we'll finish up this issue of the walk, and then we'll start getting into some things talking about that pleasing process of being pleasing unto God. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have some audio files of past Sunday messages. We have information about how to join our Sunday service. live as this broadcast on Facebook. We have information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. And as always, if you have any questions or comments about anything in our broadcast, anything that's on our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.